This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free at 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. We've got a great show in store for you today, so hopefully you'll stay with us for the full hour. Just remember, you can give us a call at any time or just send us an email. Once again, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. We're going to start the show off by talking with MSU assistant coach Dane Fife. And Dane, how you doing, buddy?
Earl, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good, and it's a pleasure to have you on. As we all know, you guys are in the tournament with the number one seed. That's got to feel pretty good, doesn't it?
Well, it is. It's very exciting. You know, I think it's testament to these players and the way we've come from nowhere to be a number one seed is exciting in its own right. But we know what we got here, and we know what we're made of. But now records are thrown out. And it becomes survive and advance.
Yes, now, when you, like you say, you came from nowhere. So when you start out the season, I assume that with not ranked or anything, there's not any pressure on you. And so you can just be calm and just play your game and learn to, you know, you have the guys learn to play the game the way you want it. Is that the way it is? Because it's supposedly so much less pressure on it when you're not a high seed.
I think you're right. When it started, but now we're number one seed. So they're obviously with a number one seed. There's expectations. Riding home on the bus, we were watching ESPN. We were watching CBS just after the game in the locker room and listening to these experts. Some have us in the Final Four. Some have us losing to Missouri. Some have us losing to Memphis. But there are those predictions for us to be national champions as well. So whatever our guys are listening to or hopefully not listening to, it's our job as coaches to make sure that our guys understand that we can lose in an instant. We can lose game one, we can lose game two, and all the way through. And not to lose sight of our goal to win the national championship and what it's going to take day in, every single day, to get there.
And well, let's first talk about that game yesterday. You had a chance to avenge that loss to Ohio State. Tell us about that game, and it was a streaky kind of game, wasn't it?
It was back and forth. I really haven't seen the amount of lead changes, but I would imagine there were a bunch. One of the themes we were using is Ohio State ruined our senior day, and that was important. To issue a little payback, but I think a bigger issue, the bigger theme was we're trying to win title number two. We won the Big Ten title. Now it was time to win the first tournament title, so from that perspective, it was a heck of a day for us. And something that we could take home with us, and you'll see hopefully goal number three being achieved here at some point too.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel about this? I mean, obviously you got to be excited being in this situation here. Coaching at Michigan State and now a number one seed. How do you feel, or are you still trying to deal with it?
Well, for me, it's a learning process, and I've got to continue to get a feel for the way we do things, and everything's a first. Big Ten tournament's a first in terms of how we prepare. The NCAA tournament's a first. Going back a little bit, the Big Ten season's a first. There's a lot of firsts for me, and getting my feet wet, probably not, but a lot of questions have to be asked, a lot of questions have to be answered, so I can make sure that I do my part in putting this team in position in the best position possible to help us win games.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming opponent, LIU, Long Island University. You know, they're a very strong offensive team. So when you look at a team that's so strong offensively, do you just continue to do what you do defensively? Do you try to put in a few wrinkles? How's that going to work out?
Well, we certainly pay attention to our opponents and take them very, very seriously and not look ahead. And the way our system works is we do adapt and adjust to the opponent we're playing. We do try to stick to our roots and what we do best, but we will adjust our defensive schemes and we will adjust our offense to put our guys in position, in the best position possible to win a game. Long Island poses some big problems. They shoot the three well. They score a lot of points, as you said. They're about 82, and that's all year. That's through non-conference and conference, and that's a lot of points. They run a lot like us. They run. They've got one of the top passers in the country, one of the top assist players in the country, and they also got a kid named Boyd who was conference player of the year in the NAC this year. Very good team. Let's keep in mind they were in the tournament last year, and they were a 15 seed. They lost to Carolina, but they put 87 points up against Carolina last year, which we think is going to be a pretty tough matchup. I think, from my perspective, it's certainly the toughest matchup for our number one in this tournament.
Now, is there anything in particular that you think Michigan State needs to, or wants to sharpen on or just to do a little better? Is there anything in your arsenal you think, we don't do this well, but maybe we should work on this and get a little better?
I think that's a good question. Well, one thing that I'm sure you've seen is, you know, yesterday we got out-rebounded in double digits, and that's cause for concern. Now,
yes.
Not having Brandon Dawson is a big reason for that. On the flip side, some guys got to pick it up, you know, from Draymond, who certainly gets his share of big-time rebounds. But, you know, Knicks and Payne, and then our guards and Appling and Wood and Trice and Kearney, those guys got to pick it up. Thornton, they got to pick it up and help us on the glass and maybe knock some balls loose on the offensive rebound end come up with a few more on defense, but we've got to rebound the ball better. That's for sure.
Yes, and then like you're saying, those little things. You know, I know people don't really look at those little things, like you say, stealing balls, tipping balls away. You know, like Draymond had the three block. Got called for the one block charge fall, but you know, setting the picks, blocking all those little things. A lot of times, are those some things too? You want to do a little bit sharper.
Well, that's for sure, and you mentioned Draymond. That's one thing that people really don't see unless your eyes are on Draymond the whole time is the little things he does for this team, and I think that's why he gets so much recognition by the coaches and by pro scouts is because he does so many things aside from score and rebound that wins games. And those intangibles are the things that I think really have put us in position to have had the success we do is the intangibles, communication, team camaraderie, you know, teammates helping each other out on the floor, and that's the part that you really can't measure. It doesn't show up on the box score after the game, but those things that have really helped us become a better team this year as opposed to last year.
Hey, Dane, now, you talk to the scouts. How would you assess, or how do you think they assess Draymond's chances of making it in the NBA? Because like you say, he does a lot of those things well, but sometimes, I don't know, a lot of us out here think, hey, they don't really pay that much attention to those things. So do they do that where it's better in the pros, or do they, does he have a good chance?
I think it depends on the system. I mean, let me answer this. There's no question Draymond Green will succeed at the pro level, but I think the system is also important. Draymond to be most successful needs to be right in the right system, as does most players. But I do think, you know, just listening to what Flip Saunders said the other day, I think it was said, it certainly was said publicly, so I'm not giving any inside information, but he said just how outstanding Draymond was and the things we've talked about and, you know, the kind of player Draymond is. Flip thinks he's ideal for a team in the NBA. So I think it's going to translate. Draymond's ability to play in the pros is going to translate from college to the pros very easy, because I do believe the right team will end up with him. Because those teams, they know what they want, they know what they need, and Draymond is, it's pretty clear cut as to his strengths and weaknesses are, and I think teams will understand that, and the right team will get him, get Draymond in their system. But I also think Draymond can adapt, so I think any team will be lucky to have him, my opinion.
Well, I know you've got to get ready for those first two games coming up. I know Tom always likes to prepare for the or assume he's preparing for whoever wins that second game. So I know you're probably looking at a lot of tape, not only on LIU, but on either Memphis or their opponent coming up. So you really have to be prepared with Friday and Sunday, don't you?
Well, that's for sure. And, you know, one thing Coach said last night is, yes, we obviously have to prepare for game one, but we also have to prepare for the whole tournament. And, you know, most immediate would be Long Island, and then second would be the winner of St. Louis and Memphis. So you can bet in practice this week we'll be working on similarities. We're trying to find right now as we speak, we're trying to find similarities between the three teams, Long Island, St. Louis, and Memphis. And that way we can have our scout team do some things, and we can do some things in practice that our guys are going to see in the next couple of games. Obviously can't simulate the speed and the precision of each particular team, but we do want to give our team with some generalities and some similar actions that each team, defensive schemes and offensive schemes that each team will run, so our guys are as prepared as possible.
Yeah. Now, how do you think this team will do in the preparation, in the fact that they're such a young team, and I know you have to be concerned with them getting nervous and things like that. So how do you feel this team might do it in, as far as their preparation, getting ready for the NCAAs?
Well, I think we are young in some respects, but our leadership from Thornton and Draymond Green are just something every coach every coach has to have, you know, every coach loves, every coach dreams of. So we're going to prepare them, but it doesn't stop there. They're going to prepare themselves, especially with those two that I just mentioned. Not worried about our guys being ready or nervous. They were on the big stage yesterday. And every day in practice, there's an accountability factor that, you know, we try to prepare our guys in practice so the games are much, much easier for them. So every day they're going to be held accountable, and I think game time, nothing should surprise them when things happen in the game. We'd like to expect so. I'm not too worried about there. Obviously, there's going to be the normal nerves of playing a game, fear of losing, fear of or too much excitement. But it's going to be hopefully an exciting time for us, and. You know, you can bet that we're going to be prepared as any Michigan State team would be.
Hey, Dane, thanks for joining me. As you know, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and we'll look forward to talking to you from time to time during the tournament.
Okay, thanks, Earl.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Dane Fyfe, Michigan State assistant coach, right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870.
This is John Donvan. In the week ahead on Talk of the Nation, a modest proposal punished violence on the sports field by taking the offender to court. On Tuesday, a new effort to get police officers to hand you their business card anytime they do a stop and frisk. And political junkie Ken Rudin joins us on Wednesday. All of that and much more in the coming week on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Scott Pohl. Here's the weather. Rain and isolated thunderstorms today. The high 61 degrees. There's a good chance of more rain and thunderstorms tonight, but it should become partly cloudy overnight with a low of 48. Sunny tomorrow, the high in the low 60s. Sunny with a high of 71 Wednesday.
and give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, we need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we want to hear from you, talk to you, and so just give us a call. We want you to definitely give us a listen each and every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. We're here for you. You can also, remember, you can follow us on Facebook. You can do that as well. But give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And now we got to make contact with an old, he's not too old, but old friend of ours. The head coach now of Northern Illinois, Mark Montgomery. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Earl.
Thanks for having me on. Hey, glad you'd be on with me. I know you had a rough year, your first year as a head coach. So now that you can look back on your year, how was your first year as a head coach?
You know, being in the other seat is never as easy as people say. But,
yep.
I had a young team, Earl. I had four freshman starters, and I was playing seven freshmen. So the future looks bright here in Northern Illinois. And, my young guys got a lot of playing time, got a lot of experience. And, you know, we ended the season on a good note where we went down and beat Eastern Michigan in the first round of the MAC tournament. So we got a chance to go to Cleveland, but we ended on a good note.
And that's really good. And now you're going to do something rare. You're going to be looking at the NC2A tournament from afar, where you've always been a participant in the tournament all the years you were coaching here in Michigan State. That's got to be a little different, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's different because I'm used to practicing this afternoon and doing that first scout in the NCAA tournament. But like everyone knows, I am definitely still a Michigan State guy. And I've been following the Spartans all year, and I kind of like their draw, and I got to follow them. They're my team.
Yeah, and you're looking at this first round. I've got a Long Island University coming up, and then either Memphis or St. Louis or one of those teams. They're going to have those first two games. How do you look? I know how you prepare, how you prepare for them, but how do you look at these first two games for Michigan State, for example?
Well, I think Michigan State just has to play their game in that the first game versus the LIU Brooklyn team. And then it's two different styles when you look at the Memphis team and the St. Louis. Memphis, I know they want to go up and down. And St. Louis, I got a chance to look at them this year because they played a few teams in our league. They're more deliberate. They're going to take their time. They're going to try to space it with four different guys. But you're going to win the first one, and then how sound Michigan State has been playing defense this year, that'll definitely get them by that second game. And then you're looking at the Sweet 16.
Yes. Now, how do you adjust? I mean, that's one thing you learned going from round to round. But how is it because every team has a different style. So how is it for you when you have to adjust from a different style of play? Like you say, the LIU goes up and down, and then they might get a team like St. Louis that's very deliberate and very slow. Is that difficult for teams to make that kind of adjustment?
Well, I think Coach Izzo's been always good at playing different styles, and he has them ready for that in that Big Ten, because all of a sudden, you look at the Big Ten tournament, Michigan State was going up and down with the best of them when they put 90-some points on Iowa. And then you got to play a team like Wisconsin, especially during the regular season when you know the games are going to be in the 50s, 60s. So they're going to be ready for any style, and all Michigan State teams can adjust to different styles. But me knowing them, when we get into tournament play, teams don't know how good Michigan State can run with the ball, and they think they want to play a fast-paced game. And with Michigan State's doing a great job this year, they're pounding that ball inside. So I think Michigan State's size is going to definitely hurt other teams. But most Spartan teams can play any kind of style, and I look them to I look forward to them making adjustments and playing the style that it takes to win games.
Because that's basically always been, it's not really a secret, but part of Michigan State is that they're able to adapt to different styles and play different styles, whether you want to play up-tempo or slow down, you know, or play a pattern kind of game. That's been one advantage that that I know you have and Tom has developed over the years, is that, you know, just be able to adapt to all different styles of play.
Yeah, and then if you look back to what they had to go through during the regular season, the Big Ten, when you listen to the so-called experts, it was the top conference in the country. So it's different styles with every team in the Big Ten, but what it is competitive basketball, and you know you have to come to play every game. So it's going to be no different for this tournament here. I look forward to them moving deep into the tournament, but you have to take one game at a time, and they will do that, and it doesn't matter the style, they're going to be ready to play.
Yep. Hey, Mark, now, you came coming out of the MAC Conference this year. How was the MAC Conference? How was it the competition in the MAC Conference?
You know, it's good competition in the MAC. I'm looking at the draw here. OU was the fourth place team in the MAC, and they've won 27 games. So Akron finished first in the MAC, and I know they're in the NIT. They're a team that I thought was going to win the MAC, and they just had great size, and they went 10 deep, but OU ended up beating them by two. But it's a favorable matchup for Ohio U because they're playing Michigan. And Michigan doesn't have great size. So OU doesn't have great size, and OU usually plays four guards, kind of like Michigan plays four guards. So you take OU, Akron, Kent State, Buffalo, who does have good size. All those teams match up pretty well, or they could have did pretty well in the tournament. But MAC, from top to bottom, I would say, you know, the top 8-9 teams, I would say probably the top 8 teams are very good. Because then you have the Bowling Green, Miami of Ohio, Eastern Michigan, who won the Western Division of the MAC. So it's good basketball across the board. What you get at our level is guys stick around for 4 years, and they're 4- and 5-year players because some guys redshirt, and they're just more experienced, and they're more attuned to college basketball, and they've been around, and they mold each other, and that's why MAC basketball is so good.
Yes, and I just wanted to say another thing about MAC basketball. Well, for you, that is, what kind of players do you look to recruit for your team? What kind of players? I know this would be actually your first really full year of recruiting after last year. You got part of it going. But what do you look for players to go to the MAC and go to your conference?
Well, you still have to be a good high school player. You have to be skilled. You know, we don't get too many of the 7-foot guys. So all of a sudden, we're working with 6'7", 6'8", post players. And 9 times out of 10, we have to make them stronger. But the better MAC guards in our conference can play in a bigger conference. It's just sometimes they slip through the cracks, or, you know, we do a good job in recruiting too. We know how to get on a kid early and pinpoint him and let him know that he could be a focal point on our team. So we want good players. You know, we're still recruiting Big Ten players and hopefully, you know, our Atlantic 10, our Conference USA players, and we just hope that they slip through the cracks, or we do a good enough job selling them how they could be a big-time star in this conference. And we've had plenty of guys out of our conference drafted in the NBA. I remember when I was at Central Michigan, the big name there when I was on staff was Chris Kamen, and he was 7th in the draft. So we still want good players. You have a bigger pool of guys you have to look at. But like I said, after 3 and 4 years or a redshirt year, they become very good college players.
Yes, and now, are you looking for a specific type of player you're recruiting for this year, or have you already finished your recruiting for this upcoming year?
You know, we've already finished our recruiting for this upcoming year. We had signed 4 players early, and then we just picked up a 5th player. Actually, it's a guard out of Detroit. I can't say his name because he hasn't signed an NLI yet. But just like the big schools, we try to get our recruiting done early and then go from there and just kind of follow them and bird dog them. But They're very good high school players that we have coming in this year. That's going to help change this program here at Northern Illinois.
Yes. Now, do you have to worry about, like you said earlier, sometimes, you know, after you signed a guy, you got a guy committed, do you really have to worry about them maybe being swayed to go to a bigger school or a bigger school, like I say, coming in late and sweeping a guy like that off their feet and sweeping, you know, getting them to go to their conference or their school?
Well, the best thing you can do is make them sign on that dotted line. But in some cases, you know, when you're recruiting the kid late, and you're following him during the year, and if he's playing good enough, the big schools are going to come call it. So we have to really show the kids bigger is not always better. And, you know, you could come in, if you want to be an impact player right away, you could probably do it at our level. But it's just, you know, if you look at the Butlers and the VCUs and the Wichita States and some other teams, you know, the Ohio U's, the summer, you know, University of Detroit, they're in the tournament. They have some very good players that are mid-major players or come from mid-major conferences. But it's always the thing that which we don't get, what hurts us, we don't get the TV exposure some of the bigger schools get. And sometimes, you know, our kids are, they want to play on TV.
Yes.
They want to travel first class. So you can lose a kid, but it's enough kids to go around to make all programs very competitive.
Yes, because basketball is a sport that, boy, there are so many kids playing ball. I mean, you can go out any place, your neighborhood or anything, and see kids out on the street shooting hoops around. And that's what really makes basketball. And if you can find, like you say, one of those diamonds in the rough, because I assume there are more and more diamonds in the rough these days.
Oh, it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of diamonds, and this is something I'm going to do this week where you can get, I can go to Wisconsin now and watch the state finals this weekend, and I can shoot over here in Illinois in the state finals, and then I know Michigan is just starting up the regionals there, and you can always find some diamonds, a lot of good players. You just want to find the right fit, and that kid fits in academically, athletically, and socially, and those are the things that we look for in recruiting.
Yeah. Now, with the kids, like you say, you have a very young team, seven freshmen. What do you look at? What do you hope those guys improve in? I assume you've given them all plans on what areas where you want them to get better at for next year.
Well, for us, you know, the biggest difference that we had to deal with this year is the strength of other teams. Because, like I said, we're playing seven freshmen, so we're really going. We're on spring break this week, but next week when we get back, we're going to really hit strength and conditioning. We want to get our guys in the weight room where they're putting on 10 and 15 pounds of bulk so that we can be stronger, not only physically, but it's going to help their game, you know, conditionally, you know, condition-wise and just the mental aspect of it. When you're stronger and you're bigger, you're going to play better. So we want to definitely hit the weight room hard this spring and in the summer. And then after that, we're just going to do some individuals a couple times a week because no matter what, kids always need to work on the fundamentals, if that's especially dribbling and shooting. But and the other fundamental we're going to work on is passing because you watch the good teams, you know, especially I know Missouri's and Michigan State's bracket, they're a very good passing team. And you got to get better at those three fundamentals. And we're going to definitely stress those things over the next 4 to 5 weeks while we're in school.
Yeah, I know the kids that they have to do those kind of things. But when you look at kids coming in or coming out of high school now, do you see them that they maybe a little bit better fundamentally? Or you looking at it and say, boy, this guy is good, but I'm really going to have to work with him to get his fundamentals better. So what's the style? What do you see as far as the kids coming out of high school now? How are they playing?
Well, I see kids, they have a talent level and certain skill level about them, but I think fundamentals are lacking a little bit. But the biggest adjustment they have to make is the defense. You know, and I wish the high school teams go to the shot clock because you have to be able to defend sometimes for 30 and 35 seconds of the shot clock. So defensively is where they're really lacking because, you know, all of a sudden you come to Northern Illinois, we're playing 99% man, and some teams, you know, play zone in high school. So concepts of trailing screens or getting over ball screens, those things are where they're they're behind at, and then sometimes at our level, just the strength. You know, most Big Ten players come in physically tough enough, but at our level, they have to get stronger. So, you know, most of the time, the shooting and dribbling is not as bad, but it just has to get better because you're playing against better competition. But getting them attuned to the defensive schemes are very important.
Yes, and I know when I'm you know, as you know, I go to a ton of games. One thing I see, you know, the kids, especially, they shoot a ton of three-pointers. It's like that intermediate game is almost null and void. It's just about disappeared. Everybody seems to be shooting the trays. Is that something that players really need to work on to concentrate a little bit more on that intermediate game?
Well, the mid-range game, you know, Earl, it's a lost art, you know, going off the dribble. If it's one or two dribbles, kids definitely need to work on that. You know, everyone gets glamorized with the three-point shot or the dunk. So if you're a post player, working on your jump hook, turnaround, jump shots, they're very important. But sometimes, you know, kids don't go to the camps to work on fundamental things anymore. All camps in the summer are AAU or team camps playing 5-on-5. So kids, that if you really want to be good and make an impact in college, you definitely have to work on your mid-range games. And like I said, your dribbling, your passing, your shooting, and then get in the weight room, because that is a big difference when you get to college.
Yes, like a guy, well, you know, Derek Nix here. He's made tremendous strides for these first 2 years. Mark, you know, he came in and he was a little bit overweight and sluggish, and now he's got himself in shape. He's even gotten a little stronger. And you talk about a guy who's made some key helped his game and helped himself. He's one of those guys that really he did all those things that he needed to do to make himself better.
Oral, you're being nice, because you know I was there when we recruited Big D Nixon.
Yep.
He came in not a little, a lot of weight, and just getting his conditioning and his nutrition was big for Derek. But watching him here over the weekend, after we got eliminated, you could see that he has just so much more confidence with his inside game, and he's always a pretty decent passer. And now I can see that he's rolling after he sets the ball screen a lot faster. So I'm happy for him, but it's so much improving when you get out of high school or college. And like you said, it doesn't matter if you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to gain weight, you're trying to whatever it is you have to do, the word you have to use, you have to work, and you have to work at it. Because if you're not working at it, someone else is.
Yes, that's the thing. I don't know if kids realize how hard they should work and how hard somebody else is working to get better. It's one of those things, you know, we can talk about it later on at some other time. But, you know, kids, if they don't work on their ball skills and all those skills now, someone may pass them down the road, and they'll think that they're as you know, guys always say, well, the coach is disrespecting me. No, it's not that you're disrespecting them. It's just that they haven't done the things they need to do.
Right, and the big thing is they think they're working hard, and the only thing they can compare it to is high school.
Yeah.
College is a whole nother level, mm-hmm. and everything intensifies. So if you think, I always tell my guys that I got coming in, if you think you're working hard, you better work about 10 to 20 times harder, because the guys that you're about to go against now are 19, 20, and 21, and they have some seasons already under their belt. But like I told you earlier, I'm happy for the Michigan State team, because obviously you have to put the work in the summer and the fall to be very successful in the winter. And with a leader like they have in Draymond Green, I know he was making sure those guys were working morning, noon, and night, which is nice to see.
Hey, Mark, always good talking to you, my friend. You know, I'll be calling you again, and we'll talk some more, buddy.
Okay, thanks,
okay.
Earl. Thanks,
yeah, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. Yep. And that's Mark Montgomery, the head coach of Northern Illinois, right here on AM 870 WKAR, 20 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break, right here on AM 870 WKAR.
From 2009 to 2010, black students across the nation were 3.5 times more likely to be suspended or expelled than white students. I'm John Donvan. School discipline. What happens when punishment is not fair? Plus, why you can't get some songs out of your head. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up here right at 3 o'clock, right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Our high 61 today with rain and isolated thunderstorms. There's a good chance of more rain and thunderstorms tonight, but it'll become partly cloudy, the overnight low 48. Tomorrow, the high 62 and sunny, sunny with a high of 71 on Wednesday. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, now let's turn our attention and talk with Michael Rosenberg, a columnist for the Detroit Free Press. Give us a call and talk to Mike at 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, glad to have you on. And as you know, Michigan State made it to the NC2A tournament as a number one seed. A pretty good bid for the Spartans. What are you looking for the Spartans and then for as well Michigan when both those teams got good seeds and, they played at the conference that was considered the number one conference in the nation, four teams at four or above. How do you think the Big Ten's going to do this year?
You know what? It's interesting. I do believe it's the best conference in the country, the deepest conference. Sometimes that always doesn't show in the NCAA tournament. You know, you get several teams in and then matchups don't work out. But I would be surprised if the Big Ten doesn't get at least three teams into the Sweet 16. And that's really how I judge a conference. I mean, you can have one elite team that makes a run for the national title, but how many teams do you get in the Sweet 16? Is what tells me. And obviously Michigan State has a great chance. Ohio State, I think Michigan's got a very good chance. I have Wisconsin losing to Vanderbilt, which of course means nothing, but they've got a chance. Indiana, even though they've got an injury to Verdell Jones, they've got a shot. So I think it'll be a good tournament for the Big Ten.
Now, you didn't mention that one team, Purdue. They've got our boy Robbie Hummel back. What kind of chances do you give them?
You know what? It's funny. They had that the Barlow was kicked off the team, and it seemed like maybe they'd fall apart, and they seem to have played better since then. So I think they've got a real good shot in the first game. After that, they're going to have to play Kansas, unless Detroit can upset Kansas, and that's going to be a tall order because Kansas just has more players. It would be great to see Hummel make a run. I mean, I felt like Purdue had a Final Four team when he got hurt the first time when they had Etuan Moore and Juwan Johnson. So it's unfortunate that and last year too. So it's unfortunate he really hasn't had a chance to have the run that I think they were capable of. So it'd be great to see him pull an upset in the second round.
Yes. Hey, how about U of D? How is Detroit going? I mean, they finally got into a tournament after many years, and they do have a pretty good team with Ray McCallum. The junior is running the point. So how do you assess Detroit's chances?
Well, I don't think you could ever really love the chances of a 15 seed. I do think there are two 15s in this tournament that have a chance to pull an upset. U of D is one against Kansas, and the other one would be Lehigh, which of course played Michigan State tough, and is a very good team, and they play Duke, which I think is one of the weaker high seeds and more susceptible to upset in the whole tournament if they don't hit their shot. So U of D, it's one of those teams that they struggled early on, really came on. Maybe they're peaking at the right time. Maybe they've sort of faced that pressure and they sort of feel like they're playing with house money. It would be great to see them pull this off. McCallum, I mean, that's obviously, he was a big-time recruit, a legitimate player that could play in any league, and sometimes you just need that and maybe hit a couple of those three-pointers and you got a chance.
Yes, Mike. When you look at the NC2A tournament, and of course I know you follow the pros as well. Is this a time now where you would say the pros would just be out of sight and out of mind for about a month, and then people will start turning their attention back to the NBA? Is this really probably almost a dead period? I would say for pro basketball.
Well, I guess it depends on what city you're in. I don't think it's a dead period for pro basketball in Chicago or Miami right now.
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at that, you know, it's funny because the Pistons, they were off to such a terrible start, and they're really playing well lately. And to me, you almost have to look at it like they were playing actual regular season games at what should have been training camp with a new coach because of the shortened season, and it's all condensed. But I still enjoy the NBA, but the nice thing about the rhythm of the sports year is you go through this, come out of the Final Four, baseball starts, you got the Masters, and you get into the hockey and basketball playoffs. So certainly for the next month, I'll be watching a lot more college hoops than NBA.
Okay. Got a caller for you from Saginaw. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing there? Hey, Mike, I want to know, since we you talking about it's pro basketball there, why is the Detroit Pistons fan so apathetic? I know the other time they played against the Lakers, it was like all those people was there wearing Kobe Bryant's jersey. And, I mean, it's funny when those teams, they sold out the Palace for six straight years from that. Every year they went to the the Eastern Finals. And I just want to know, what is with the Detroit fans toward the Detroit Pistons, not the Red Wings and the Tigers or the Lions? It's just like they fans are so front-running and everything. I'll let you opine on that.
Okay.
Well, it's an interesting question. You know, and the Tigers were bad for those years. I mean, they struggled to draw people, too. Nobody remembers this because it's been so long, but the Red Wings were the dead things, and they struggled to draw people when they were losing. As great of a sports town as Detroit is, I think with the economy and with all the entertainment options, with all the sports teams we have, if you're not winning, you know, we don't like to admit it, but it does hurt your attendance. And I still believe the location of the Palace doesn't help either, because there are certain areas it's just really tough to get there. Obviously, that, you know, people around there love it, but I think that hurts them a little bit. And I think there's just the NBA has sort of a negative reputation, which is largely undeserved, but it's the reality for that league. So that combination and the Pistons getting off to such a poor start and just having such an unlikable team the last couple of years are all part of it. But I will say this. I think if you're a basketball fan, you have to like what you see from the Pistons, because with Knight, with the way Stuckey has played lately, and with Greg Monroe, you have to feel like you've got three pieces to the puzzle to be a playoff team. And they've just got to add a key piece, presumably with the lottery pick, this summer, and maybe one more, and then they can be in the playoffs, and you're on your way up.
Yes, that's a young team that definitely has some potential. Like you say, they've got some pieces that they're still trying to gather more pieces, and then this team could be back to being in the conference or just a contender in their own conference and a shot for the playoffs. How far away do you think, you know, maybe what, two or three players before they could be a legitimate, we'd be talking about them as a legitimate playoff team?
I think probably two players away, but I don't think they have to be great players. And part of it's just the progression. I mean, if you look at Greg Monroe and the year he's had this year, he's in position to, if he keeps improving, as I think he will, he will be an all-star in that league. Brandon Knight's a rookie point guard. You normally don't win a lot with rookie point guards, but he's also got a chance to be an all-star in that league. And Stuckey's, he's been a really good shooting guard. He's defending. He's buying in. He, frankly, I didn't love his attitude the last couple of years. Almost since he got to Detroit. But if you look at it now, I mean, he seems like a different guy. He's playing game after game instead of one-on, one-off. He's defending. I think he's gone from a guy that you think you got to get him out of here to a guy that you want to keep him there long-term because he can be part of the solution.
Yes. Now, we got a team that everybody's so excited on, so I got to get your opinion, Mike. How do you feel about the Tigers? Are you already on the bandwagon? I'm still sort of got one foot off the bandwagon. I'm not ready to jump on there yet. I guess I'm just feeling a little cautious. But how do you look at the Tigers this year?
Well, you know, I have some reservations. I mean, I really don't like that infield defense. I admire the heck out of Cabrera. I like him a lot personally, and I admire how much he wants to make it work at third base. I'm skeptical that it will. If he injures at second, you just don't know how that's going to go, especially with him hitting. Shortstop, no, a lot of range there. Prince at first base, not much there. I'm concerned about that. You wonder about the bullpen getting old. I mean, I wonder about a number of things, but I don't have nearly as many questions about them as I have about anyone else in the division. It's just, it's really hard for me to go from a couple of questions about the Tigers to, I can pick someone else to win the division. I just can't see it. I think they're going to the playoffs. If they're in the AL East, maybe it's a different story. But in the AL Central, I don't know how they don't win that division.
Yes, I'm thinking that same. Boy, we're on the same page. I'm thinking the same page. I've got those reservations, too, about the Tigers. And I keep wondering why I'm – and those are a lot of good points, that, you know, because I keep wondering the same thing. Why I can't – I'm a little hesitant to jump on the bandwagon. And you probably outlined that pretty good. But the Tigers, that's a team that, you know, they've got that so much power. I know people are all enamored with the power, but they've only got the two hitters, so we know Austin Jackson's definitely got to improve if he's going to be a leadoff hitter. That's another a problem that you have. You need a setup guy, and I don't know if the Tigers really have a legitimate setup guy right now.
Well, they may not, and quite frankly, if you look at their lineup, it would be a concern for me that they're one of those teams that could go out and win 98 games and then get swept in the first round of the playoffs, because it doesn't translate as well to postseason. Where fielding seems to mean a little bit more speed, manufacturing runs, because you're facing such good pitching. But for the regular season, I think they could probably swap their way to the playoffs along with that starting staff they have. I mean, you have to look at it. They didn't have Sister for half of last year. Delman Young, I'm not huge on him, but Bosch went out for the second half of the year. He was really having a good year. They're just a deeper team than they were even last year. So, you know, fielder for Victor Martinez may be a wash, but unless they have some significant injuries, to me, that's the team that wins that division.
Yes. Now, what about that fifth starter? We've heard a lot already. The Tigers don't have a fifth starter. How do you see that search for the fifth starter going?
I consider it to be ongoing. You know, one thing we tend to do in spring training is we sort of say, well, who's going to be the five starters? Well, no team in baseball will have five starters all year long. Not one of them. Guys get hurt. Guys have dead arm. Somebody struggles, you bring somebody up. I mean, they're probably going to pitch seven or eight guys in their rotation this year, even as strong as they are at the top of the rotation. So they have enough arms that they just have to feel like by committee maybe you make it work. And who knows, maybe by July, Jacob Turner is hot enough that, he's progressed enough that you can put him in there. We'll see.
Mike, now, I know you follow the colleges, you follow the pros. Which do you prefer? Do you have a preference covering college sports or covering professional sports?
You know what? I like mixing it up. It's funny. I sometimes covering college sports, you cover and then you go and you just want to take a shower afterward, because it just seems like there's corruption and there's just, yeah. It just seems bizarre that the players aren't getting paid, but maybe they should. And then sometimes they are getting paid and it's not fair to the people that aren't paying them. And you wonder what it has to do with education at all. But I also think, I mean, there's nothing in basketball more fun than seeing the matchups and the upset possibilities in the NCAA tournament. So, and college football, to me, the regular season is still the best in sports. So I guess I go back and forth on it, and I get to go back and forth on it when I cover. So that's what's fun to me, is I get to do some of everything.
Yes. Now, college football, we haven't had a chance to talk about that with another season coming up next year. And you're right, the regular season in college sports and football is probably the only one where the regular season means something. It's been diluted so much in the pros and in college and all the other sports. What is it about football that makes it special and making that regular season so special still?
Well, you know, it was even better years ago when there was better non-conference games. But it's winning your league, it just means more. I mean, you look at Detroit in basketball this year. I mean, Valpo is 14-4 in the league. Detroit is in third place at 11-7, but they win the conference tournament and they go. Well, how are you going to go there next year in late January? You're really worried too much about who's in first place, and that's just how college basketball is set up. Football is different. Now it may change over time, but from start to finish, it's the best.
Oh, no doubt about that. Hey, we better mention the Red Wings, because then I'll be getting a lot of calls on the Red Wings. The Red Wings are the team that we sort of take for granted in Michigan, don't we? Because they've been good for so long.
Yeah, they have been. They have been really good for so long. We just take them for granted a little bit, and you know, the concern right now, I mean, they've got injuries, and they seem to be nagging injuries, but you do wonder if they're going to be healthy for the playoffs. I don't think that internally they ever expected to be the number one seed, certainly in all the the Western Conference, and now they're not going to be as it stands right now. But I do think they're good enough that if they get on a roll and they're the healthy team in April and May, they got as good a shot as anybody.
It's amazing, Mike, that age hasn't caught up with the Pistons. I mean, the Red Wings yet. I mean, year in year, they sort of gradually have a system for a turnover. And you know, every couple of years, I know fans and a lot of the media have thought that this team is, you know, they're too old now, and eventually they're going to have to retool and go all the way young. But they haven't had to do that yet.
Well, they're just really good at finding players. I mean, if you look at it in 02, they had 10 Hall of Famers, including Bowman, who was on the bench, obviously, or behind the bench. Of those nine players that were Hall of Famers, I believe only one of them is left, which is Lidstrom. But Dotsuk was on that team. Now he's one of the best players in hockey. Zetterberg came in the next year, I believe. So they just turn over the roster, and you don't really notice them if you're looking from a distance, that they do get younger in a way because they do find new players. I mean, they're on their really their fifth generation of great team. I mean, they've just rolled it over from the early 90s to now to have great teams year after year, and it's really the most impressive management feat to me by far in all of sports, and that includes the Yankees, because the Yankees' financial advantage is a lot bigger than what the Red Wings have dealt with.
Oh, that's for sure. Yes, but you're right, though. This is a team that they've been able to roll it over and keep it going. And a lot of teams, as you know, they just aren't able to do that. But the Red Wings have found a way and are still continuing to be a very, very good hockey team.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. They're extremely well coached and everything about them. I mean, if you're a sports fan and you're a Red Wings fan, you just got to feel lucky that you get to cheer for that organization.
Yes, now, this is a good time of year for us, Mike, because we get to follow hockey. We get the NC2A tournament. Things are really good for us, especially, and we have three teams in the NC2A tournament now. So things are pretty good in Michigan.
You know what? It's and the women's tournament, too. I mean, it's a great sports town. I guess if you're a sports columnist anywhere, you have to feel lucky, but especially around here, there's no shortage of things for me to write about.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, Mike, I want to thank you for being with me. You know, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get together again soon and talk about some of the things going on in the world of sports.
Well, indeed. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, buddy. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Michael Rosenberg from the Detroit Free Press talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And Jacob, you've had a chance to listen to a lot of experts today, from our columnist to the head coach at NIU and then also the assistant coach. So what is your take on the Spartans, and what do you think they're going to do during the upcoming tournament?
Well, I think they'll win, obviously, the first round or the second round or whatever they call it now, because, you know, 16's never beaten a one. I think the second round could pose a very interesting matchup, assuming Memphis wins. That's not a guarantee, but I think Memphis will probably beat St. Louis. Memphis is a really good team. They played really good basketball as of late, and they've only lost one game in their last 12 games. And so I think that would be a really interesting matchup. It's a really close game. It's a game I'm going back and forth on right now in terms of my bracket. But, you know, even if they you know, were to get past Memphis or St. Louis, they've got Louisville in there as well and Missouri. So they're in a pretty tough region. But at the same time, I think there are some upsets in that region that could make it a little easier. So I think they have a decent chance. But I think that second round game is against a potential Memphis could be tricky.
Well, it could, because that's the one I worry about of all the teams in their bracket. That Memphis game has me worried. That's a team that they could get upset by. And I don't know if you'd call that an upset matchup, because Memphis is just a really, really good basketball team.
They are. They're very athletic. They score a lot. So that could be a tough game. But, you know, I guess we'll see. The madness begins tomorrow.
Yes, it does. And this is a great time of the year, March Madness, and a lot of us love it. And I wonder, do you love it more than the bowl games, or is the bowl games I have it over March Madness?
I pick March Madness over the Bulls.
Okay. Hey, thanks for you all for calling, and thank you for listening. We'll invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. And remember, we come your way each and every day right here from Monday through Friday on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, so come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. We want to make sure that you have a safe and pleasant evening, and come back and join us right here on Sports Talk 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have a good evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.